Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Yes, that lion forms on the right, babe. Not that Maggie's. Back in town.
On the Fan, McMonagle here with you on this Wednesday morning. I got you for 3 hours of taking your calls at 888-808-1019. Fleek's on the other side, and it's me and you on this miserable baseball Wednesday morning, all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show, with two just disastrous games, almost completely different, where one, I mean, just absolutely nothing. Got nothing for you. I really don't have anything for you other than the Yankees' offense is absolutely putrid right now. We'll go through some of the defensive miscues, maybe, that cost them a couple of runs. But overall, Warren pitched well. The Yankees have been pitching well. But the offense can't score a run to save their lives. Three consecutive shutouts. 20 consecutive innings of shutout baseball against the Angels. The Angels. They could be. Since the years of, you know, the early 2000s, when Mike Socha and that group that was really good and won the World Series in 2002 and beat the Yankees at every turn, really the only team that ever really beat the Joe Torre Yankees on a regular basis was the Mike Socha-led Angels. I mean, you have to go back then. The last time this good was developed, the last time that franchise was good at developing pitching, the last time they had a rotation. This is one of the worst pitching organizations over the last decade. And they just came into Yankee Stadium and shut them down for 20 consecutive innings. And the other game yesterday, we could talk about 1-for-18 with runners in scoring position. Oh, you got a leadoff double from this guy. Why don't you move them over doing this guy? I don't understand. There's a bunch of situational hitting. And it was frustrating. It was impossible to watch. Tonight, it just rolled over you. How awful. This was by far the most inept. This was by far the worst performance offensively. I mean, absolutely, you know, Stanton's look good. A couple of singles from Stanton. Other than that, nothing. Nothing. An embarrassing performance against Kyle Hendricks. This isn't Kyle Hendricks of 8 years ago with the Chicago Cubs. This is Kyle Hendricks, and I know he pitched well. Believe it or not, I could be fair. You can be fair. I know I'm way too fair. Isn't that right? I'm way too fair. But let's be fair for a second. Okay, Kyle Hendricks hit his spots. Let's just be fair. He hit his spots. That is no excuse for the level of ineptitude with all of these at-bats. As they did absolutely nothing in this game. Nothing. I'm pissed. DJ LeMahieu should have had a ball that would have saved Will Warren the first run of the game. And Jazz is dealing with a groin thing. Maybe his range is a little limited at the moment. We saw the ground ball the other night go down the line that cost them the game, or at least scored the one run that lost them the game. And in this game, you know, he's got a ball just off his glove. Could he have made the play? It was tough, but okay. It doesn't matter. They can't score a run. This has now reached epic proportions with the unbelievable ineptitude of the New York Yankee lineup. And we'll get to it. 888-808-1019. And we'll find ways to blame Boone. You can give me a call. And it felt like Boone was managing the Mets. Because let's be honest, that Met loss, as I said, completely different. They have a 4-1 lead. They jump out early. Juan Soto hits the home run to get it started, making you feel better coming off a 3-game losing streak. And now both these teams, Yankees on a 5-game losing streak, the Mets on a 4-game losing streak. But the Mets, coming off the three-game losing streak, looking to go into what has been a house of horrors for them, a building where they have very little success other than game 161 last year, the first game of the doubleheader with all that heroics and Lindor and winning that game to send them to the playoffs. Other than that, it has been a disaster, a house of horrors for this Met team, and you went in thinking this is a different team, and it's a different Braves, and they have been terrible this year. You got Juan Soto hitting the home run. You jump out to an early lead. You've got the ace of the staff in Peterson mowing him down. You got a little bit of good fortune with a blue pit from Taylor that just lands and it scores you two runs. And then ultimately, this game was played sloppily. They made a bunch of mistakes. A bunch of critical mistakes that cost them, a couple of managerial decisions, and a 4-1 lead becomes a 5-4 loss as they rally for three in the eighth off of David Peterson and Reed Garrett. And you see mistakes all over the place. There's base running mistakes galore as Soto gets picked off in this game. Pete Alonso, trying to stretch a single into a double, gets thrown out at second base rather easily. Pete Alonso gets picked off on a line drive to shortstop. And then, of course, the play in the ninth where Juan Soto gets hung up on a Pete Alonso long deep drive ball to right field. So there's a couple of key plays in this game. That's one of them. But let's get to the eighth inning and really where the Mets lost this game. The Mets lost this game because as great as David Peterson has been and as great as he was in this game, and I have no problem going back to him in the eighth inning. That's how good he's been. He's probably been better in the fifth, sixth, and seventh than he was even early on in the game. He was completely dominant in the sixth and seventh inning. He's got a good pitch count. What was it like in the high 80s, 85 maybe heading into the eighth inning? He's got a good pitch count. He's been pitching incredibly well. He's your guy. You have the injury to McGill. You're going to have to be mixing around this rotation. Who knows how much you're going to need out of the bullpen. I have no problem with a 3-run lead going back to Peterson in the eighth inning. None. The problem is you cannot walk Allen. You cannot walk the leader, the ninth hitter that's leading off the eighth inning. That's where this trouble starts. Peterson cannot walk him. I don't care. He's got him a full count. I think he fell behind and then got back into the count to have a full count. And then he throws, you know, anything other than a fastball down the middle in that situation is a terrible pitch. I don't care what he does with it. I mean, this is a awful hitter, right? They have him strictly because he can play. They were talking about during the broadcast. He's there for one reason, Slick Love at short. You have got to attack him in that spot. And instead, he walks him. Acuna gets a base hit, and then Reed Garrett has to come in and pull a magic trick out of his or a rabbit out of his hat. And you thought he was about to do it. You thought he was about to get out of it. Two outs, and then Ozuna on a pitch that now is much going to be scrutinized as the catcher, who's got plenty to answer for in this game, Alvarez, said that. You know, Reed wanted the fastball, but he changed the pitch on him, and obviously the ball is laced down the line. All three runners come around to score. They tie the game in the eighth, 4-4. Soto leads off the top of the ninth with a bullet base hit, and then the play, which I'm sure a lot of people are going to talk about. To me, look, he's halfway between second and third. That's a hard ball to read. None of us knew it. The one thing I will say is that I don't think the umpire, forget his name, I don't think the umpire was that late with the call. That's the only thing I'll say is obviously if you didn't see the game, long drive off of Pete Alonso where I thought it was gone off the bat. And I mean, how many of those have we said over the last week between the Yankees and Mets? I thought for sure Pete Alonso got it. And as Acuna's going back to the wall, makes the leaping catch at the wall. It's a really good catch. You're not sure. Even in the moment, I wasn't sure if it like glanced off the wall into his glove. And Soto, who's on first, isn't sure, and he's halfway between first and second waiting for the umpire's call. I thought the umpire did it as good as he could have possibly done it. As soon as he was sure it was an out, he made the call. I don't think it was a really egregious late-timing call. But off of that, you're looking to make a response. Off of losing and you know, blowing the lead, you're looking to get a response at the top of your order. You get that bullet base hit from Soto, and you figure you're on your way, and Pete Alonso hits one to the wall, and unfortunately it turns into bad luck where you get the play at the wall, and Soto's doubled off at first, added to another list of bad base running decisions in this game for the Mets. An ugly, sloppy game that they had a lead in. The starting pitcher walks the nine hole to set up the eighth that comes back and kills them. Then in the 10th inning, after Diaz comes in and pitches the bottom of the ninth.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
In the 10th inning, the one real questionable, and I know I listened to a little bit of the Rico Bronya podcast, and I saw my man Fleegs on the other side talk about it. The one issue you can get on the manager for, is still hitting Young to lead off the 10th with a runner on second. Like, this is a guy who's probably not going to be on this roster in a couple days when Vientos comes back. He's been your left-handed DH. He's had three miserable at-bats in this game. There is absolutely no reason why Marte should not be pinch-hitting. Marte's got speed. Marte puts the ball in play. Marte, in the previous series, was really the only guy who came through with clutch hits on the Friday night game against Tampa. I mean, he's swinging it a hell of a lot better. He provides so much more of a competent at-bat in that moment where you're looking for contact, you're looking to move the runner over. I understand not bunting. Why the Braves didn't bunt with Verdugo, I'll never know in the bottom of the 10th. But you're looking for a little bit of contact. You're looking for a little bit of small ball. You're looking to not strike out there. And instead, you allow Young to hit in that spot. He strikes out. And ultimately, that inning goes nowhere. And then we all know what happened with Alvarez in the bottom of the 10th on a wild pitch. Ball gets by him a little bit. And he has the runner hung out to dry between second and third. And decides to do something that we all know you can't do, and that is throw behind the runner. He throws behind the runner. The runner is moved up to third base. Ultimately, Olsen walks and was behind in the count, up three and one in the count anyway. He probably walks anyway, but still sets up the bases loaded, sacrifice fly. An incredible play by Taylor to not give up on that ball and go all the way down. But ultimately, this was a very frustrating loss for a lot of reasons. One, it prolongs a four-game losing streak for the Mets as they had an opportunity off of a Phillies loss to Miami, which you got to, you know, anytime they're playing Miami, right, they beat up Colorado just like you did. I think they still have another series against Colorado. But in a series against Colorado, they beat them up just like you did. You expect them to beat up on Miami. Like, if they get, you know, snake bit by one of these bad teams right now with this division this close, you have got to be able to hold on to a 4-1 lead against the Braves in that building to try and add one more game to this division lead when the Phillies drop one to the Miami Marlins. And the idea that you lost the game, that you played really sloppy on the base paths, sloppy defensively from Alvarez in the end of the game, a lot of mistakes in this game. You can't walk the nine guys. Just ugly things that the Mets have been better at all year. And to do it in that building against this Brave team that, I know, what are they down? 17 games out, 15 games out. It's not that you're necessarily worried about the Braves coming back, but they are the Braves. They're a bitter rival. And just like the Red Sox and the New York Yankees, like, it's an opportunity to put your foot on the throat of a long-standing divisional opponent who's having a miserable season, who is possibly looking to sell, like maybe Chris Sale, who you'll see later today, Met fans. Like, you could change the trajectory of where this team is going this year and into the future. And instead, you let them off the hook playing sloppy, bad baseball, as well as making critical mistakes. and you lost a game that just you had won, and now it's four in a row. And you're looking at Chris Sale later today. Chris Sale against Blackburn. That is not a great pitching matchup for the Mets. And these two teams right now are 0-9 since Friday. 0-4 for the Mets. 0-5 for the Yankees. And last night was just one of those nights where you just, I'm going back and forth watching. And it's just one of those nights where the teams played terribly. And the Yankees right now, the offense, is just atrocious. There's really nothing else to say. Like, there wasn't a lot to this game. The other night, there was a lot of opportunities to win the game. Like, they had a bunch going into extra innings. But, I mean, just bad situational hitting. They were 1-for-18. They're 0-for-3 tonight. 0-for-3 with runners in scoring position. 0-for-3. They had 3 at-bats with a runner in scoring position last night against Kyle Hendricks and the Anaheim Angels. That's embarrassing. I don't care how well he was pitching. I don't care that he was hitting his spots. And he was, to be fair, he's hitting his spots. But that's unacceptable. It's unacceptable how bad the at-bats were. And this was the game, for me, where you really looked at it. Like, the other night, you could say Bellinger hit 2 balls, and there's been a lot of talk about the drag on the baseballs and the seams and the balls not carrying as far. And we've seen it all season. Remember, Pete Alonso hit one he could not believe didn't get out of Yankee Stadium on that Sunday night. Like, we have seen it a bunch. Major League Baseball has admitted it. It's 4% more drag on the baseball this year than previous years, whatever. The other night against the Angels, I thought Bellinger had 2. Certainly that last one that could have gotten out. I thought Judge hit one that on other nights gets out, or that we've seen that same kind of swing get out. Goldschmidt, get out. I thought he had one that would have clearly gone out on a different night. You got great defensive plays. Neto made an incredible, overran the ball and had to jump behind his back to make a play. There was some bad luck. Volpe hits the ground ball right into Dominguez sliding into third. There was some bad luck. There was some good at-bats. There was some hard hit balls. Tonight was a disaster. This last game, where they are now 29 innings without scoring a run. This one is the one that better wake them up. Because you know me, I'm going to push back on some of the nonsense. The June swoon, the idea that, Boone is to blame for all of this. And we'll have a little fun with it because that's what I do. It's funny because I don't think I'm going to take a single call. And I watched SNY, and I listened a little bit to Keith, and I listened a little bit to the Evans podcast, and I haven't yet heard anybody blame Mendoza for the base-running miscues of Pete Alonso. I haven't heard anybody yet blame the manager for the catcher, Alvarez, throwing behind the runner, which is baseball 101. I haven't heard anybody blame the manager for Soto not being able to get a better read on that ball and not getting back to first base. Haven't heard anybody blame the manager for walking the leadoff hitter in the eighth inning when it's the 9 hitter to start the eighth. Haven't heard anybody blame the manager for any of that stuff. Weird. Because if mistakes are made like that with the New York Yankees, we know where the blame falls. We know it. Yet Mendoza is not blamed for it. And don't get me wrong, he shouldn't be. That's my point. You can argue whether or not he should have pinch hit for Young in the 10th, and I think he should have. You can argue whether or not he should have let David Peterson come out for the 8th. He should have brought in somebody else, don't let him face Acuna after he walks the leadoff hitter. Whatever you want to say, that we could argue about that. But it just feels like even the sloppy play of the Mets, disastrous loss, down up 4-1 to blow it in the 8th and then lose in extra innings. Nobody seems to blame the manager for all the miscues. Yet with the Yankees, the entire offense is out to lunch. I feel like my cousin Vinny, the entire store's got the flu. You got that? The whole store. The entire team can't hit, starting with Judge. And it's okay to get mad. Like, here's the thing about Judge, too, that makes me laugh. It's okay to get on Judge. It's okay to say, man, he's killing them series. We all know in the back of our minds while we're saying that, you can't, like, It's not that we're mad at him or that he stinks or that this is how he'll hit in the postseason or that he's not allowed to slump after, you know, having this incredible year. All of those things are true. I expect him to get hot. He's allowed to have a slump. This is not indicative or some sort of a clue into how he's going to hit in the postseason. None of that. But that doesn't change the fact that this offense that has been great all year is being let down by everybody, but including Judge. And we can say people got to step up, and that's 100% true. 100% true. Bellinger's got to step up. Goldschmidt's got to be better. Volpe's got to be better. They all got to step up while Judge is down. No doubt about it. It's not good enough to just say, hey, Judge is in a slump, so the offense goes to the trash. Not good enough. But that doesn't mean stand to say that Judge is having the worst at-bats of his season. And that if any player goes cold, if any great player on a team goes cold, the offense suffers. Not to this degree. But if Pete Alonso doesn't hit, we saw the offense struggle. If Lindor was struggling at the start of last year, we saw how the Mets looked. When your best players don't hit, your offense struggles. This is too much, though. There's no doubt about it, and someone's going to have to step up. And the Yankees are going to have to go tomorrow against a pitcher with the worst ERA in all of baseball and figure out a way to win a damn game. 888-808-1019. So we'll open up to both teams, both games right out the chute. The mistakes of the Mets that cost them a game they had won, a game against the Braves, a game in a building that's been a disaster for them, a game that looked like they were going to get in their winning ways, take game one of this series, and only have to get a split between Sale and Strider the next two. And now, to win this series, you got to win back-to-back games off a blown, ugly loss with a ton of mistakes, and the Yankees' offense is about as inept as we have seen in 35 years. Ugly night for New York baseball.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 228, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019, an ugly night for our baseball teams, as it was just, really, it always makes me think about Tiki Barber, for some reason, because I had this conversation with Tiki a couple years ago, it makes me think about him. It's not just him, but like the thought process of, because him and BT used to say it when they were doing the midday show together. The Yankees, not only are they losing, but they're boring. It's the way they're losing. The way they're losing sucks, right? The way they're not scoring runs. The offense is struggling when they, you know, would go, and they have gone through some slumps during the middle of the season. Off to good starts, slump in the middle. People don't want to talk about the recovery they make at the end of the season and still make the playoffs, still win the division, still get to the World Series, still get to the ALCS, still win 99 games. But yes, there has been lulls throughout the year, absolutely. And when they're losing, most of the time, it's about the struggling offense. And last night's a good dichotomy for me because I remember having this conversation with Tiki. I remember having it with fans. There's nothing worse than when they don't score runs. There's nothing worse than watching a miserable, ugly game. They're not only losing, they're boring. It's the worst way to lose, which I always found funny. Because to me, there is no worse way to lose. Losing sucks. And so I ask you, call me up, 888-808-1019. Which way would you rather lose? Which way is more fun? Is it more fun to be completely shut down by an aging veteran starting pitcher with an ERA over 5 and just be absolutely do nothing? Or is it more fun to lose by having Soto hit a home run, jump out, and take the lead, have Peterson mowing them down up 4-1, and then blow it in the eighth with base running mistakes, with, and again, this isn't specific that the Mets are prone to this and the Yankees are prone to that. I'm just asking you, it's a good, like, how we view winning and losing. Because I always found it funny, the idea that there's a better way to lose. Losing stinks. Scoring runs, scoring 8 runs and losing 9-8 doesn't make me much happier than losing 4-0 or losing 1-0. And so, as we saw these two just ugly games, which would you prefer? Would you rather have your gut ripped out? Or would you rather just, you know, be the frog put in the water and it slowly cooks you to death and you don't even know it because it's just a mind-numbing mess of a lackluster offensive game? Because to me, there's no difference. They both suck. And last night sucked for both teams. The Yankees are doing something historic with how bad they are. And the Mets had an opportunity, and it's always crappy to lose in that building. It just is. We talked about it with the Yankees and Red Sox, too. It doesn't matter that the Braves are, you know, under 500. It doesn't matter the Braves are 14 games back. They're the Braves. And that building is the building. And how many times have we seen, Met fans, how many times have you seen losses just like this, heartbreak to the Atlanta Braves? And this, you thought, is a different year. The Braves, same thing with the Yankees and Red Sox. Yankees, Red Sox are down. Red Sox are struggling. Devers is a cancer inside the clubhouse. Thank God they got rid of him. I'm sure they're about to take off as they got pounded by Seattle last night. And now he's willing to play anywhere on the field with San Francisco. But, yeah, no, the Yankees were in first place. Yankees' plan B is working. They're a better team than they would have been with Juan Soto. We forget that now. These five games have wiped our memory of anything that happened prior to the five games. It's like we all got Will Smith, Men in Black us, and all we remember is the last five games. But the idea that, like, you know, you had an opportunity to beat an opponent, even if they're struggling, beat a rival, even if they're not what it's typically been, even if they're down in the dumps, even if they're 14 games behind, you don't want to breathe life into them, and you want to go out there and still kick the crap out of them. And instead, the Mets had a very difficult loss last night. And now they're setting up for a tough game against Chris Sale, who has pitched incredibly well and might be pitching to see if he can get shopped to a contender and chase one more championship. I don't know how he feels about that. I'm sure he's happy in Atlanta, but they're going nowhere this year. So I don't know which way you'd rather lose, but I can tell you last night was almost the, I always talk about this too, about anger and frustration and indifference. Last night you got numb to it. As a Yankee fan, the other night was much more frustrating. The other night where, you know, they had every opportunity to score a million runs. They had 18 at-bats with runners in scoring position. They had, you know, the bottom of the 10th inning, all they need is a run. And they couldn't do it. And again, we see it all over baseball. Mets couldn't get a run in. They have a strikeout, can't move the runners over. The Atlanta Braves and Snitker, after the Mets don't score in the top of the 10th, and in the bottom of the 10th with Alex Verdugo, they walk, I forget exactly who it was who they walked in front of him, but they walk the hitter in front of Verdugo, Acuna. So they walk Acuna, they pinch hit Verdugo, or yeah, he was pitched hit earlier in the game, rather. So Verdugo's up, and they don't bunt him because they might pitch, they might walk Olsen if they move the runners over, and he pops up the first pitch. Again, I know I'm the Yankee shill, and a great man once told me, the great Spike Eskin once told me, you got to be famous for your opinions. Well, I'm famous for being the Yankee shill, so let me tell you this. If Aaron Boone made the same decisions and the game was played exactly the same for the Mets or the Braves, Yankee fans would be up in arms
about blaming the manager. We wouldn't be sitting here talking about blaming Soto for his decision-making on the base path. We wouldn't be sitting here talking about whether or not Alvarez threw behind the base. We wouldn't be talking about Peterson walking the nine-hitter to lead off the eighth inning. We'd be talking about the terrible play of the New York Yankees and how it's reared its ugly head again, and they can't manufacture runs. And how could you not bunt for Dugo? How could you get, you know, picked off of first base? How for a line drive to shortstop? How does Pete Alonso get picked off of first? That's what we'd be talking about. But we don't blame them. We don't blame Mendoza for that. And rightfully so, because the player's got to execute. Plain and simple. Player's got to execute. Pete Alonso cannot get picked off of first. It's not because they don't work on it. It's not because the manager allows it. And by the way, the manager then defended Alvarez for throwing behind the runner. And Mendoza has been a guy a lot more blunt and a lot more outspoken against his players, or at least, you know, acknowledging the idea that mistakes were made. And I'll be the first to admit with Aaron Boone, he won't even go near that subject. He will bend over backwards to defend any player in any mistake. There is no doubt about it. I won't, not trying to argue that. And Mendoza's been different than that. He's been different. And when asked about Alvarez's play, where he clearly made one of the cardinal rules of fundamental baseball, you don't throw behind the runner there and allow him to get third. You either run at him, or just if you're blindly going to throw, you throw to third base and run him back to second. Worst case scenario, it's no harm, no foul. You cannot allow him to get to third base by throwing behind the runner. It is a terrible baseball play. It is a bad fundamental baseball play. And then in the post game, Mendoza is defending it, saying, well, he thought Alvarez was going back to second, so he makes the throw. It's a great base running play. That's what Mendoza said. If Aaron Boone defended that play in that manner, we'd be going nuts. Just saying, just pointing it out there. Players win, Boone loses. And it's getting so tired that it's driving me crazy. Because right now, I don't care about that. I don't care who the manager is for the New York Yankees. Player, you got to hit. You got to have better at bats than what they're having. He changed the lineup. He put Dominguez at leadoff. Everybody on Twitter was telling me how happy they were that Dominguez was hitting leadoff. Didn't seem to help very much. On SMY, I heard that Andy Martino was reporting that the players got together, had a meeting, talked about it, you know, talked about working on things, maybe changing approach. They've got a hit. Plain and simple, they've got a hit. Because right now they are in a miserable funk. Miserable. And they got to work their way out of it against the Angels. And then they got Baltimore coming in. Look, you want to win, to be totally honest with you, for me, bare minimum now, you got to win 4 of the next 5 games. You got to go 4-3 against these two miserable teams at home. You just have to. At the bare minimum, I think going in, I was 5-2. But with how bad they're playing, I can't ask for a 5-game win streak. But they need to figure out a way to win 4 of the next. They have to win the next 2 against the Angels and then take 2 or 3 from Baltimore. Bare minimum. So they better get their act together. 888-808-1019. Let's go to the calls. Joe in Staten Island. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Chris. So I think there is a worse way to lose, and that is, I don't think the Yankees are the worst way to lose right now, because you're in a rut. You didn't score for three games, mm-hmm. but you know that Judge and the rest of these guys are going to start hitting. They're going to get in the groove again. They're going to be one of the top offenses. But if you're losing and you're throwing out starters or relievers who are blowing games or starters who are doing bad right from the beginning, you don't know what's going to happen every time you throw a pitcher out there. Our pitchers right now are holding the other team down. It's just a matter of time before Yanks start hitting again.
Yeah, well, I agree with that, but it's not, it doesn't, you're taking more into account than I'd like you to for the direct question of watching the game. Because I was talking about previous years at points, and I'm not necessarily this Yankee team, because you know the, like, watching just a baseball team. Say you, the Yankees don't have a good offense, which I agree with you. The Yankees do have a good offense. They do.
It doesn't look like it over the last five games, no doubt. But this Yankee offense still leads the American League in damn near every category. Like, the idea that it's Judge and nothing else, I'm sorry, it's just not true. Now, have they not stepped up while Judge has been struggling? That is 100% true. As Judge has struggled, they have not found someone to step up and take over while he is struggling or try and carry the team or get the big hits. They haven't got 100%. That is accurate. But that doesn't mean as they were accruing the most runs in the American League, as they were having the best offensive season in the American League, it wasn't just all Judge. They have nine guys with above average OPS. That's as much or more than any team in baseball. It's this offense has been really good this year. And up until the last five games, a lot of you and a lot of us Yankee fans have talked about that the team is better than it would have been with Juan Soto. And I never thought I'd say that. And we were saying it. I still think I'd rather have signed Juan Soto for the long term, but I don't think there's any doubt with the addition of Fried and the idea they lost Garrett Cole, who we heard in the broadcast last night, but the idea they lost Cole and they lost Heal for probably until after the All-Star break, where would this team be without Max Fried? And you don't have Max Fried without Juan Soto. I mean, with Juan Soto. You just don't. You just don't. And you don't have Bellinger here either. You might have Devin Williams, and you might have Goldschmidt. In fact, I think you probably do have Goldschmidt, and you might have Devin Williams. But who knows what this team looks like if they sign Juan Soto. It wouldn't have been enough to make this team, the 2025 team, as good as it's been. Moving forward, I still would rather have the great player. I'd rather have Soto than take the mantle of the team's best player as Judge ages out and money comes off the books and you can put a team around Juan Soto. I still think I'd rather have signed Juan Soto because it's the better overall thing for the franchise. But this year, you can't argue the team is better than it would have been with Juan Soto. And that's what we've been saying all year. And we get caught up in these five games. I'm furious about them. Like, this is where I think people have a misconception of me. I'm not sitting at home just happy they're losing, saying, oh, they'll get to the playoffs anyway. Like, I do think they'll get to the playoffs anyway. That doesn't mean I'm not pissed off watching this crap. Those were pitiful at-bats. And if they play like this in the postseason, they'll lose to anybody. You can't play like this in the postseason. We all get it. Thankfully, today isn't the postseason. But we can't ignore what had happened the first 68 games of the season. They had won 9 out of 10 series. They just swept the Royals. They scored a ton of runs off of the first two pitchers in that series who happened to have the lowest ERA in all of the American League in Cameron and Bubich. Like, those guys both had ERAs under 2 heading into those starts, and the Yankees pounded them. This Yankee offense has been good. It will be good again. It is dreadfully bad right now. And the fear is that even though I don't think that the offense is only Aaron Judge, and I've said this the other day, I don't think the offense has only been Aaron Judge. I don't think it's fair to say, oh, it was just Aaron Judge. It's not. Bellinger was having a great year. Grisham having a great year. They're starting to come down and come back to, you know, reality and coming down a little bit, not as hot as they were. That's fair. But I don't think the entire offense has been Aaron Judge. But here's the problem. When he's not going, someone needs to step up. And that's what they have yet to prove. Right? That doesn't mean the entire offense is Judge. It's not like every game while he's going, he's the one who scores all the runs, knocks in all the runs, nobody else does anything. That's not true. But when he's not going, it impacts them so much, and the rest of the offense struggles along with him. At least that's what we've seen here in Judge's first real slump of the season. That's the problem. The problem is if Judge goes through a slump, you need someone to step up. It's not that he's the whole offense when it's going well. It's that when he's not there, they need someone to step up, and they have to prove that there's someone like that on this team. But as far as the better way to win or lose, my point was, like, would you rather just be shut down offensively,
Or would you rather take a lead or have no pitching and give up leads late? Because there was a lot of talk early on about, the Yankees aren't only losing, they're boring. They're boring. I could tolerate losing, but give me something. Give me some excitement. I don't think there is an exciting way to lose. I think losing sucks. Steve in Homedale. What's up, Steve?
How you doing, Chris?
Good. How are you, buddy?
A few quick points. First, mm-hmm. to answer the question that you've just posed, under normal circumstances, if you took today in a vacuum, I'd much rather lose the way the Yankees lost. Mm-hmm. They lost. They didn't hit. Don't worry, we'll get them tomorrow. The way the Mets lost was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But the Yankee game today is not in a vacuum. It's now mm-hmm. the sixth game where they've scored a total of 6 runs.
Yeah.
And Michael Kay made a historical reference during the broadcast tonight. He said the last time the Yankees in a 5-game period scored 6 runs, it's only happened twice in history.
Mm-hmm.
1908, they finished in last place.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was 11 years old in 1968, that team had a .214 batting average, the worst team average in the history of the Yankees, and also happened to be the year of the pitcher. So the two teams that have done this before were terrible teams. This is supposed to be a World Series favorite. So, and let's be honest, I think right now, I think most Yankee fans, I listened to you last year when we went through this. And if you remember correctly, last year, it all got started in the middle of June.
Mm-hmm.
The Yankees played Kansas City on the road 4 games. They won the first 3, and they blew the 4th game.
Yep.
And they went to Boston. They went to Boston on a Friday night. Verdugo hit a home run. They were great. And then the next 2 days, they got smashed.
Yep.
And then it just evolved. And right now, it's a 5-game slump.
Yep.
But if you remember last year, it was literally 4 weeks of terrible baseball. And that's the biggest concern you have right now.
Yeah.
Look at it this way. One last thing. Look at it this way. When the Yankees hosted the Red Sox, if I told you the Yankees were going to score 23 runs in 3 games, you figured, they would win all 3.
Mm-hmm.
No, they only won 1.
Yep.
And then the last weekend when they played the Red Sox in Boston just this past weekend, if I told you
they would
Yankees
hold them
in 3 games in Boston, they're going to give up 8 runs to the Red Sox. You'll say, 8 runs in 3 games, we're going to win all 3. We lost all 3.
Yeah.
So as bad as it's been, they just got to put the brakes on right now, and they can't let this evolve into the middle of July like it did last year.
Well, I mean, again, but last year ended in the World Series. So, I mean, it's not like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not trying to say that I'm not concerned if they have a four-week slump or they don't play great baseball. If you remember last year, it started to really change direction. And then they pulled it out of the fire, won the division, and went to the World Series. And I know it's not about going to the World Series. I know. And then they embarrassed themselves there. I know. But you can't tell me that the 3 weeks in June are killer when they get to the World Series. All that matters is how you play when you get to the World Series, if you got to the World Series. It's not the 3 weeks in June where you played crappy baseball. It's did you win the division, and how did you perform in the playoffs? And they lost 2 games in the American League playoffs on their way to the World Series. Like, it's hard for me to go, and just like last year. I hope so. Let's get to the World Series and see if they can play better. I hope it's just like last year. People keep saying, it's just like last year. Yeah, they went to the World Series. Like, we talk about them, same thing now. We talk about them like they're the team in last place. They're in first place. It's an ugly 5 games. I'm there with you. They've got to change it. I agree with the last caller. I don't want a miserable month of this. I don't want a month of 500 or a couple games under 500. Absolutely, of course not. But these 5 games aren't the season. The Mets just lost 4 games in a row. Do we think the Mets are going to go on this long losing streak now? The Yankees will be fine. This is an ugly time. There's no doubt. It's part of the ups and downs of the baseball season. And right now, these five games are pretty down. I mean, this is as bad as it gets. I mean, do I really care that only two other Yankee teams have done this and they both were bad? No, because were those teams ever in first place? Did they ever have a seven-game lead in the division? Like, the 1968 team was awful. This team isn't awful. This team's had a bad five games. It's a weird handful of games. I mean, even the swoon of June of last year or whatever, it wasn't because they didn't score any damn runs. It was a bunch of different scenarios. This is just an odd thing where the entire offense has gone completely cold and they can't put across a run. And I think this was the first game that you really saw the pressing. They were pressing out there. They're trying to do too much out there. The swings are too much out there. Hendricks did hit his spots. There's no doubt. He was not around the middle of the zone. I think you have to be fair. There was a couple. I think Judge missed a fastball that, other than that, like, he was hitting his spots. But that's not an excuse. He's not, even if he hits his spots, he's not shut you down strikeout eight. Sorry. Six shutout innings, eight strikeouts, or seven or an eight, nine strikeouts. That's, I don't care. He wasn't hitting his spots to that level. They were awful in this game. Kenny in Manhattan. What's up, Kenny?
Hey, Chris, how are you?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Good. To answer one of your questions, I would rather lose a 1-0 game because I think those are actually the most exciting games. Mm-hmm. It's all tension. It's all defense. Those games, I can accept the other team just performed amazing. You know, it's the sloppy games where we keep on giving away leads and screwing up and making errors. That's what drives me crazy.
Right. I agree with you.
To answer your other question, the reason why I think Aaron Boone will get blamed for this stuff more than Mendoza is because he's been there 8 years and Mendoza's only in his second year.
I understand that, but what is I don't understand. So the team and the poor play only reflects the manager if he's been there for 8 years. So what about Juan Soto's bad play? Because Juan Soto's only been with the should we put that on previous managers? Hell, let's put that on Boone too, because he was with the Yankees last year. Like,
But you could also say Mendoza's mistakes is because he learned from Boone. I mean,
well, there you go. There's another good way to get Boone.
I'm joking about that.
I know. Either bad play is indicative of leadership or it's not. You can't tell me, well, he hasn't been their leader long enough, so I'm not going to. You don't have to have the same level. You don't have to have the same level of, like, hey, this has now been a thing with Boone 8 years. Fine, I get it. But that doesn't change the fact. Bad base running, it's either on the manager or it's not. Don't give me the 8 years. You could say, we've seen this for too long. I'm fed up with Boone. And it's like, hey, this is becoming a problem for Mendoza. But nobody says nothing about it being on Mendoza. Nobody says anything. Yeah. Not a single person said the base running mistakes for the Mets were on the manager. Not anybody. I'm sorry. Base running is either an indicative thing of leadership and what's being taught, or it's not.
Okay, the thing I'll say, though, is, you know, the thing that, you know, and you know I've never been a Boone fan. We've talked enough that I'm sure that's pretty obvious.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that really bugs me about him is he never instills discipline or accountability of the players for the team. That's what I love about Joe Girardi.
Okay.
He was a crude manager.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Boone is lacking.
All right, well, I guess who missed? I know he won the championship. He also had, what, $500 million put into the team and had Alex Rodriguez and had Derek Jeter and still had the core four. They went out and got Mark Teixeira, CC Sabathia. Like, he won a championship with one hell of a roster around him and a lot of money spent. But who missed?
We still have a lot of money.
You think that lineup looks like this lineup? You think Robinson Cano, Alex Rodriguez, Derek Jeter, Mark Teixeira, Johnny Damon, you think this lineup looks like that lineup? Jorge Posada, you think this lineup looks like that lineup?
No. But we still have one of the biggest budgets of
And that's why they were in the World Series last year.
And they've won the division how many times? How many times did Joe Girardi miss the postseason? And how many times has Aaron Boone missed the postseason?
I don't have the stats in front of me.
A lot more.
The bottom line is Boone never gets them over the hump.
No, well, he hasn't so far. That is absolutely true. And again, Joe Girardi did one year when they went out and spent $500 million and gave him a lineup of all the players I just told you. And you know why he lost in the postseason? Hey, do you know why Joe Torre lost in the postseason? Why do you think Joe Torre lost in the postseason? Why do you think Joe Torre went from winning all those World Series and then getting beat in the first round for 4 or 5 years in a row? Do you think he became a different manager? How come Joe Torre went from being loser Joe, who had a really distinct career as a manager, of not getting teams over the hump, of being the longest tenured player slash manager, been involved in the most games in baseball history without getting to the World Series? Why do you think he had those? And then what happened when he came to the New York Yankees and met, you know, the core of that Yankee team? Why do you think he won championships with the Yankees but was a failure everywhere else he went? And then why after 2000, why do you think they lost? Why did they lose in 0-2 in the first round in the 0-3 World Series against the Marlins as heavy underdogs? Why did they lose in 0-4 up 3-0 against the Boston Red Sox, 0-5 in the first round, 0-6 in the first round to the Tigers, 0-7 in the first round to the Indians? Why do you think he lost those series? Because he stopped being a good manager? Or because Alex Rodriguez, their best player, was terrible in the postseason? Because they didn't score runs in the postseason. Because when they brought in the big unit, he wasn't good in postseason games. Or because Kevin Brown was at the tail end of his career and was terrible. Or that he had to go with, you know, other pitchers while they were throwing Hall of Famers at him. I'm just saying. How come Joe Torre lost to the Marlins and then got beat when he was up 3-0 to the Red Sox and then couldn't get out of the first round? Because he stopped being a good manager, clearly. Or maybe the players didn't perform well enough. And maybe it's about the players performing. And again, we talk about, like, we know he doesn't discipline anybody. We don't. He doesn't do it publicly, that's for sure. We've heard reports that he does do it privately. And again, I could tell you that every other player needs to be better. The offense needs to be better. If you go into a series, a World Series, a series, whatever, and Judge hits 100, they're probably not going to win. Just like Alex Rodriguez, when he was terrible, they didn't win. When did they win the World Series? When Alex Rodriguez went crazy. What a coincidence all this stuff is.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.